is from 1 Corinthians 26 to 31. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married his daughter. He brought her to the city of David until he finished building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people, however, were still sacrificing at the high places because a temple had not yet been built for the name of the Lord. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give to you. Solomon answered, you have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you both very much. Really clear readings. Thank you. Let me pray as we begin and we think about this topic of wisdom together. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give us as we think about this tonight. We pray that you will show us the path of wisdom as we go into this uncertain new year. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we finally reach the end of 2020, this awful year, it seems that everybody needs wisdom, don't they? Government ministers are looking for wisdom to balance public health and economic necessity. And beyond COVID, the world is looking for wisdom to deal with climate change, the refugee crisis. The list of challenges this world faces is endless. And perhaps we need wisdom in our own lives too. I don't know what's going on in your life at the moment, but perhaps there are difficult decisions to be taken. Maybe you're searching for a job. You're dealing with a difficult relationship. You just don't know how to handle it. You're caring for a sick relative. Perhaps you're hoping to find a life partner. Maybe you're just planning your life after A-levels. Everybody needs wisdom. And there are basically two choices before us if we want to be wise. On the one hand, we can be guided by human wisdom. Now, every culture around the world has developed its own wisdom, hasn't it? Sayings and proverbs to explain how the world works. I came across this wonderful proverb from the Inuit people. They live up in the Arctic Circle. And they say, unless you are the lead sledge dog, the view is always the same. That's very true, isn't it? In our Western culture, wisdom can appear much more sophisticated than that. Whatever decision it is that you're trying to take, somebody out there will have written a book about it or published something on a blog. You can turn to psychologists, to vegan cookery writers, to management gurus, all of them offering their wisdom on how to be happy, healthy, and successful. Not to mention your friends and family who always seem to have an opinion, don't they? Well, that's human wisdom. The alternative, of course, is God's wisdom, and that's what we're going to think about tonight. Wisdom that comes from beyond this world. Wisdom that gives us a bigger perspective as we take our decisions. Well, surely that's what we want, isn't it, as we go into this new year? We're going to see why God's wisdom is worth having. We'll see that it comes from obeying God's word. It doesn't come to us naturally, but we'll end tonight with some good news and a few challenges to take us into the new year. Okay, so that's where we're going tonight. So firstly, God's wisdom is worth having. God's wisdom is worth having. Now, in that second reading we had from 1 Kings chapter 3, King Solomon met with God in a dream. And in verse 5, God asks him the very same question that Santa Claus asks you if you go into his grotto. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. It's an astonishing thing for God to say, isn't it? What an opportunity for Solomon. He could literally ask for anything. He could ask for victory over his enemies, a happy marriage to his new wife, plenty of children to inherit his throne. But he asks for wisdom. In verse 9, he says, give your servant a discerning heart to govern the people and to distinguish between right and wrong. That's what wisdom is, isn't it? Discernment, knowing what the right thing to do is. Well, that's obviously a good thing for the king of Israel to be asking for. God wants his people to be ruled wisely, and so he grants Solomon his request. Now, in the second half of chapter 3, which we didn't have time to read, Solomon's wisdom is put into action straight away. Perhaps you've heard the story. Two women of somewhat ill repute come before him, each of them claiming to be the mother of the same baby. You can imagine them fighting over this baby, can't you? And after considering this difficult case, Solomon gives his solution. He says, cut the baby in half. It's pretty shocking, isn't it? But Solomon wisely knows that the real mother would never allow that to happen. And sure enough, one of these two bickering women withdraws her claim straight away. She offers the baby to her rival. Anything is better than watching the baby cut in half. And so Solomon identifies who the real mother is. Well, that's not just an interesting story. It's an illustration of what God's wisdom can do. You see, it takes a horrible, messy situation and it restores goodness and order. In a world that's spoiled by sin, God's wisdom begins to reverse the damage. Well, Solomon made the right call, didn't he, when he asked God for wisdom? God's wisdom is worth having. So how do we get God's wisdom here tonight? Well, that brings us to our second point. God's wisdom comes from obeying his word. As well as his full-time job as the ruler of Israel, King Solomon wrote a book. It was a book to show his people how life works in this messed up world and how they should live wisely in it. It's the book of Proverbs. And in the introduction to his book, Solomon says this: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." If you want God's wisdom, then the starting point is to fear God. Not to be terrified of him like a mouse running away from a cat. No, it's fear in the sense of recognizing who God really is, his awesome holiness and his power, and to see yourself by comparison. So we have to fear God, and then we have to be willing to listen to his instruction. God's wisdom comes from obeying his word. We see another very similar thing in another book of wisdom that you can find in your Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes. It was probably written by Solomon as well. And that book ends with this conclusion: "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." As we each immerse ourselves in God's word, in the Bible, day by day, and as we strive to obey what we read, we will become wise. We'll become familiar with God's ways. We'll understand God's perspective on the world that we live in and the things that are happening in our lives. We'll be more aware of that heavenly reality that lies behind this visible world. And we'll know about this judgment that's coming, the judgment that is spoken of in that second passage from Ecclesiastes. And with that perspective, the decisions that we take will be wise ones. I think this is tremendous, don't you? The more I've thought about this, the more astonishing it is. Just by reading this book, and I'm sure you have several copies in each of your homes, just by reading it and doing what it says, the very wisdom of God is available to you. We don't need to be King Solomon. We don't need to be theology professors. In his kindness, God has given all of us access to his wisdom. Well, let's be thankful to God for that. And let's persevere with reading and obeying our Bibles this year. Now, you might be feeling a bit uncomfortable as I say that, because if you're anything like me, you don't read the Bible as often as you'd like to, and even when you do, you don't always do what it says. It's no wonder that we still find ourselves making foolish decisions, is it? Well, that's our third point today. God's wisdom doesn't come naturally. Because of our sinful hearts, our pride, and our stubbornness, human beings don't naturally fear the Lord. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's our natural status as human beings. Our inclination is to push God away, not to fear him. And instead of listening to our Maker's instructions, what do? We throw them in the bin, and we run our lives how we want. I think we're all conscious of doing that to some extent, aren't we? In the words of Proverbs, our default setting is to be those fools who despise wisdom and instruction. Even the great King Solomon himself wasn't immune from this heart disease that every human has. He was the wisest king Israel ever knew, but eventually even he stopped obeying God's word, and he made some very foolish decisions. We actually saw the seeds of that disobedience in our reading in 1 Kings 3, verse 3. Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking in accordance to the statutes of his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. When Solomon stopped obeying God's word, it led to disaster. By the end of Solomon's reign, Solomon and all of the Israelites had turned away from the Lord, and they were worshipping idols, foreign gods, on these hilltop shrines. I'm afraid that under our own steam, we are bound to head in the same direction as Solomon, that we will end up making the same foolish mistakes. But as we finish, there is very good news. Because God's ultimate wisdom is the cross of Jesus. Over the last few weeks in our Christmas services, we've been retelling the wonderful story of Jesus' birth. And Luke's Gospel, the account of the Nativity in Luke's Gospel, ends with what seems like a rather throwaway line, but it's hugely significant. So let me just read from Luke chapter 2. Talking about Jesus, Luke says, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Jesus was filled with wisdom. He grew up to be the ultimate wise king. Unlike Solomon, Jesus always obeyed God's word. He never made a foolish decision. Jesus was a perfect wise teacher as well. In fact, he built on a lot of what Solomon had written. So, for example, the story of the wise and foolish builder. You know the one from your Sunday school where the rain comes tumbling down, that one? Well, that teaches us to obey God's word, doesn't it? It's basically the same thing as Solomon is saying. His parable of the wise virgins with their lamps at the ready, waiting for their master to return. Well, that's the same as what we saw in Ecclesiastes. It's living your life ready for judgment. But actually, the true measure of God's wisdom is not seen in Jesus' behavior or in Jesus' teaching. It's seen in Jesus' death. It's as Jesus dies there on the cross to save his people from their sins that Christians can see God's ultimate wisdom. And it's a wisdom that turns human wisdom completely upside down, isn't it? Instead of living for his own interests, as we are all encouraged to do, well, Jesus left the glory of heaven and he came down to be born in a cattle shed. Instead of building himself a comfortable life, he lived to serve others. Instead of seeking a reputation and a legacy for himself, how often do we hear about that, building a legacy for yourself? Well, Jesus didn't. He submitted himself to shameful death by crucifixion. And he did all of it to save not his friends, but his enemies. People like you and me who have rejected God's rule over our lives. That's not human wisdom at all. That's the complete opposite. And the world finds it impossible to understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. Jews demand signs, and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. What an amazing picture of the cross. And then Paul continues down in verse 30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness and redemption, all the great benefits that Jesus has won for us on the cross. Therefore, says Paul, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Christians boast in the cross, don't we? And we do it because it makes perfect sense of our lives. We are to be people who look at the world and look at our circumstances through cross-shaped glasses. We don't look at the world through rose-tinted spectacles, but little cross-shaped glasses. As we do that, we understand our status before God, don't we? We know that we are sinners saved by grace. Our foolishness has been forgiven. And we are grateful for that. As we look through our cross-shaped glasses, we understand the purpose of our life. We know that we are here to serve Jesus and those around us. And that perspective will stop us from making selfish decisions. Through our cross-shaped glasses, we know that our disobedient hearts have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And we are able now to persevere in reading this book and to obey it every day. That's wonderful, isn't it? Over the years, you and I, if we're Christians, are getting to know God's ways. We are learning to be wise. And finally, through our cross-shaped glasses, we have access to God at any time. We know that we can ask him for wisdom in those specific situations we find ourselves in. The Apostle James says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." What an amazing promise that is. Well, as we finish, I've put up on the slides a few challenges for us to think about as we go into the new year. And the first is this: if you haven't done so already, will you receive God's wisdom through Jesus Christ? You cannot hope to navigate this uncertain world with any kind of wisdom until you recognize your need for the cross, because that's where God's ultimate wisdom lies. We have a Christianity Explored course running starting in January. If you've got questions about the cross, if it seems foolish to you and you want to understand why we think it's wise, well, why not come along and ask your questions? We'd love to see you. And the details are available on the website. Well, of course, I'm sure many of us are already believers. Well, for us, we need to trust in God's wisdom, don't we? Sorry, we need to be thankful for God's wisdom. That's my second point. All our foolishness has been forgiven, so let's be thankful for the wisdom that God gives us in the cross. Perhaps we're facing a particularly tough decision that we need to take over the next few days and weeks. Well, then we need to ask for God's wisdom, don't we? Just as James says, let's pray to God and seek the support of praying Christian friends as well. Let's ask for wisdom. Some of us may be despairing as we go into this new year. We look at the pandemic, global warming, the implementation of Brexit changes, all of this chaos that seems to be there on the news. And these are indeed massive problems. But we need to trust in God's wisdom. God has a plan. Human wisdom is not going to fix all of those things. We should certainly do our bit. We need to be socially distancing and caring for the planet and doing what we can. But we must never lose sight of God's wisdom. If the world didn't need fixing, then Jesus would never have gone to the cross, would he? Jesus came to fix our broken world. As we think about our priorities for the year ahead, let's stick with God's wisdom, shall we? Let's keep the cross at the center of our lives, both individually and together as St. Mary's Church. We need to be people who persevere with the cross, who keep reading our Bibles and obeying his word week by week. And actually, as we do that, we'll find ourselves making better and better decisions, and we'll be able to spot the deception of human wisdom as it creeps up on us. I think on the next slide, I've got a picture which may seem a bit bizarre to you. This is a Chinese Harry Potter book. I don't know if any of you have read this. Probably not. It's in Mandarin. And it's called Harry Potter and the Leopard Walk Up to Dragon. I suspect it's not a genuine Harry Potter novel. Now, of course, anyone who's read J.K. Rowling's originals will immediately spot that this isn't the real thing. But apparently in China, many people have been taken in by this book, and they all think it's real. Well, it's a similar thing as we read our Bibles, isn't it? As we seek to obey what we read in Scripture, we will spot the fakes. When somebody tells us their human wisdom, we'll be able to tell when it doesn't quite fit with God's wisdom. We're training ourselves to be immunized, as it were, against the wisdom of the world. Well, finally, let's boast in God's wisdom. That was what Paul told the Corinthians to do, isn't it? Not to boast about their own achievements, but to boast in the Lord. We have this wonderful wisdom of the cross to share, and it's a wisdom that Maidenhead and our world desperately needs in 2021. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank you for sharing your great wisdom with us. You don't leave us on our own to navigate this confusing world. Help us now to keep the cross of Jesus in front of our eyes. And as we keep reading and obeying your word this year, please guide us in making wise decisions that will please you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.